morning, everyone, and welcome to our August breakfast discussion, where we're pleased to be launching an important report on the future of the creative workforce alongside our friends and colleagues at Vice Media Group. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Karen Thornstone, and I'm the president and CEO at Ontario Creates. And I am speaking to you today from my kitchen, but also from the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, land that is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. And I know that as a creative community, we are all very grateful to those who have cared for these lands in the past and for the opportunity to live, work, and create here today. I imagine that since you're all here attending this event today, you probably know Ontario Creates, but as a bit of a refresher, we are the provincial agency that facilitates economic development, investment, and collaboration in Ontario's creative industries, which include book and magazine publishing, music, film, television, and interactive digital media. And with a little help from Ontario Creates, these sectors contribute more than $7 billion and 65,000 jobs to Ontario every year. So you are important to this province's economy, and thank you for the work that you do. As an agency, we assist Ontario's creators and businesses in many ways, and that ranges from our film commission to direct investments, export and international business development support, through to industry development and tax incentives. And from time to time, we also partner with great organizations like Vice Media Group on research projects that help us better understand our creative industries and their audiences. For those of you who may not know Vice, which is hard to imagine actually, Vice Media Group is a global media company that spans an international network of digital content, film and television production, award-winning news content, and of course they've got deep expertise and understanding of the youth and young adult media market. And our business intelligence activities at Ontario Creates aim to provide forward-thinking, big-picture information on emerging issues and trends that give Ontario companies and content creators a competitive market advantage. So needless to say, partnering with Vice was a natural fit for Ontario Creates, allowing us to leverage Vice's considerable research expertise and their unprecedented access to the youth market to explore the future of the creative workforce. The research that we're presenting today actually follows on the work that we did with Vice more than a year ago that looked at how Gen Z Canadians discover and consume content. So we're hoping that the findings of this study will help our content producers understand more about who makes up that next generation of creators, what motivates them, where the skill gaps are for roles both in front and behind the scenes. And then armed with that intelligence, companies will be better positioned to attract and retain the talent that they need to grow their companies and their revenues. And then Ontario Creates, along with other development organizations and educational institutions, will have a better understanding of the training that's required and the need for further education and awareness building, particularly about those behind the scenes opportunities. So together, this report and the actions that will follow from it will contribute to the growth of a stronger creative workforce for all of us in Ontario. By way of housekeeping, before we kick off the presentation, a full copy of the report is actually available on the Ontario Creates website, and we'll share a link with all of you following the session this morning. We think the presentation will probably run about 40 minutes, and then we'll leave 15 minutes at the end for questions. So we certainly encourage you to use that Q&A feature on your screen. Ask questions as you think of them, and then we'll tackle them at the end. And then, as has become our pattern, after the Q&A, we'll also open the session up so that you can see and hear one another, and that'll give you a chance to continue the discussion a little more informally and maybe do some virtual networking. So if you can, please stick around for that part after the formal session. The process of moving everyone into that big group does take a few minutes, so please be patient with us. You'll be rewarded with the chance to see many, many familiar faces. And finally, we encourage you to tweet about today's event if you are so inclined, and that is hashtag ONCreates. Let's see, just before I hand over the controls, I do want to thank our research and strategic planning team for all of the incredible work that they do on projects like this one and to curate and deliver our breakfast discussion series all year round. And of course, a huge thank you to our colleagues at Vice for their fabulous work on this report. Without you guys, let's face it, we'd have nothing to talk about this morning. So on that note, let me introduce you to Julie Arbit, who is the Global Senior Vice President of Insights at Vice, and to Lauren Greenspan, the Senior Director of Insights at Vice, who together will tell you about the findings of the study. So welcome, Julie and Lauren, and over to you guys.
Great. Thank you so much, Karen. We're so excited to join you guys today and share our learnings. As Karen mentioned, we're here to talk about the future of the creative workforce. The last 18 months have really been an inflection point felt all around the world. Right? After a time marked by disconnection and social and political turmoil, we're really entering a new era, an era of cultural renaissance that's going to be marked by this explosion of creativity. Right. This is a really exciting time for young Canadians working in the creative industry with many opportunities and innovations ahead of them, but they're also faced with challenges as they navigate this really unprecedented moment in their careers. So we conducted this research in collaboration with Ontario Creates to really understand what's needed to help young Canadians adapt to this new world. So in the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to discuss the skills young creators need in their toolkit to grow and thrive. And we're going to explore how to support those working behind the scenes, whose roles are so critical to pushing creativity forward.
And I'll give you guys just a quick overview of our approach here. So we conducted this research in early February 2021. We began with in-depth interviews among young creators and up-and-coming business leaders across all different creative industries, the ones that Ontario Creates supports, of course. So we spoke to individuals in the world of books, magazines, film and TV, interactive digital media, and music. From these interviews, we really wanted to better understand where creatives would benefit from future training or educational resources, and to also learn how companies can attract and grow their Gen Z talent in the back office. So you'll see excerpts from these conversations throughout the report that really bring these areas to life. Then using these learnings gathered from the interview phase, we then ran an online survey among 1,000 Canadian Gen Zers, which we defined as 18 to 24 years old. That's obviously a little on the older end of Gen Z, but we of course wanted to focus on folks who are going to be either already in the workforce or starting to enter the workforce. And we also surveyed a young Gen Y population as well, which we defined as age 25 to 30 years old. So the purpose of the survey was to really gauge interest and awareness in creative career opportunities, especially in behind the scenes roles. And throughout the report, we've also called out where differences might exist between these generations.
Great, thanks, Lauren. Before we get into the specifics on the creative workforce, I think it's really important to take a step back and look at how these young generations, both Gen Z and young Gen Y, really approach work differently than generations in the past. To start with, their definition of success has shifted. Success is no longer about what they do, it's now about who they are. It's really tied to their identity. And young people's identity is about their personality, their values, and their passions, and it's expressed through all areas of their life, including what they do for work and what their markers of career success are. So these young generations are really focused on doing what they love and doing work that matters above all else, right? Success to them is about a well-balanced life, personal fulfillment, and the freedom to pursue their passions. As you can see, fame and recognition are at the very bottom of this list. Money is important, but just to a certain degree, because everyone has bills to pay. But money is not enough to dissuade them from pursuing their dreams and staying true to themselves. I think this quote from a young media associate sums it up really perfectly. She says, a lot of the time when people think of success, they think of making money, and that's fine. I'd rather be happy and feel needed and challenged over making money. Another difference in how young people approach their careers is their openness to experimentation and fluidity. They don't feel the need to find or stick with a single career or industry. Instead, they expect to have multiple jobs and even multiple careers over the course of their lifetime. One in two say they're constantly exploring new things to do or try when it comes to work. Now, side hustles provide further opportunities to experiment, to explore, and to follow their passions. Two in five Gen Z told us they expect to have at least one side hustle in addition to their main job. And in creative fields, this fluidity is actually even more pronounced. So, you know, that said, young people aren't necessarily aware of all the different possibilities available to them in the creative workforce, both creatively and behind the scenes. You know, some young people told us they found their jobs in the creative workforce through internships where they could see many of the possibilities firsthand. Others participated in special programs that gave them the opportunity to try all sorts of new things. And some jobs are relatively new and there's no like formal pathways or guardrails. As one content creator we spoke to remarked about their own experience getting into social media content creation.
And as much as young people really invest themselves in their work, it's by no means everything. Taking care of their mental health is a big priority for these young generations. So finding harmony between work and other areas of their lives is of utmost importance. In our survey, nearly 8 in 10 said work-life balance is the most important thing they consider when choosing a job. And this value also ties back to their ultimate vision of success Julie was just talking about, which is really living a well-balanced life. But what does work-life balance look like in a creative industry? It might look a little different than what we think of as the traditional definition. It might not necessarily mean just working from 9 to 5 with evenings and weekends free. And young people get that. They understand that the demands of many creative fields mean untraditional schedules, potentially long hours and days on set, in a studio, even at the office. But they still need to find balance and pockets of downtime when possible. For example, a videographer we spoke with told us it's really helpful for him to set general formal working hours. Even if he might have to work beyond them at times, even that little bit of structure really helps him mentally. And there are nuances in how both groups approach their own work-life balance. For creators, work-life balance might be a little more blurred because they're often getting paid to do what they love most, but they still want to make time to be creative for themselves. As one content creator noted, I'm lucky enough to now have carved out this world where I love the work that I do. I live to work on that stuff, but then I have to create my own stuff just for fun. For those behind the scenes, achieving work-life balance might be a little more deliberate. For this group, seeking balance may be more of a priority because they want to spend time to pursue their passions, which might be different from how they spend their workday. Finally, young employees really want to work among different types of skills and experiences. Our world is diversifying even faster than we predicted. Gen Z is the most diverse generation yet, and it's critical that their workplace reflects the varied backgrounds and experiences of the world that they live and create. This isn't a particularly new issue. In fact, a previous study that Vice Media Group conducted with Ontario Creates in 2020 revealed a really strong desire from Gen Z to see different representation across things like gender, sexual identity, ethnicity to be reflected in the content that they consume. And what we learned in this study is this diversity is also a requirement in the people that are supporting this content behind the scenes. 6 in 10 say that creative industries should actively recruit from other industries in order to provide more visibility and diversity in their fields. And many we spoke to did agree that progress has been made in terms of representation and diversity across creative fields. But they also said there's still more work to be done in terms of action and accountability. So in addition to recruiting new talent from non-creative industries, other things that we heard were things like actively building out a diverse team, creating support programs that support underserved populations are just a few additional examples that we heard from people say could be effective in terms of how companies and individuals might take action in order to continue moving this progress forward.
Young people are going to be leading the creativity of the future. 3 in 5 young people consider themselves creative, and there is incredible interest in this creative workforce among both Gen Z and Gen Y. They're drawn to this career path on both ends of the spectrum, whether creators themselves or fueling creativity behind the scenes. 94% say they're interested in creative roles, and 48% are very interested. 94% are also interested in behind-the-scenes roles, again, with 1 in 2 saying they're very interested. This high level of interest isn't that surprising, as these fields align with how they define themselves and how they view success. They're drawn to these creative career paths because they allow them to pursue their passions and express their true identity.
So Julie just showed you how high overall interest in the creative workforce is among young people. Now we're going to spend some time talking specifically about creative roles. So here you can see levels of interest for working in various types of creative positions. And these roles were identified based on previous research that was conducted both by Ontario Creates and Vice. And as you can see, interest in across different types of creative careers is generally pretty consistent across each role. There's a particular curiosity around the fairly new role of social media content creator, especially among Gen Z. Of course, that's not too surprising. It makes sense given how much of their lives are played out on social media. But something interesting I heard creatives tell us in our interviews was that social media actually can be a much more open channel to express their creativity and unique perspective. On social platforms, they can be more experimental and evade barriers they may come up against in trying to break through more traditional media. So you saw how there's pretty high interest across different creative roles. We all know the creative industry is quite competitive. So when it comes to staying fresh and relevant in their craft, a broad skill set really provides a leg up for creators to stand out. Whether it's creating content for their own audiences or an outside client, or if they work for an employer, we heard that creators across the board are really feeling the pressure to do it all. Based on what we heard in our interviews, this might be a shift from previous ways of working, where content creators would collaborate with other creatives of different skill sets and backgrounds to create something. Nowadays, someone who shoots video might be expected to be versed in how to market that content, or a writer might need a firm grasp on social media marketing to be discovered, for example. This particular creator on this page told us he's already witnessing this consolidation of skill sets in his own career. He's a photographer, a videographer, even a copywriter and a marketer, and he really sees that path as the future. There isn't a single or correct path in which to learn these skills either. While 3 out of 4 of those interested in a creative role believe that formalized education is important to their future success, that doesn't necessarily mean that it might come from a traditional 4-year degree. Hyper-focused programs that are very specific to the creator's expertise might be even more helpful. In fact, in our survey, respondents said that the number one benefit of a formalized education is learning knowledge specific to my profession, ranking higher than other benefits like growing as a person or learning general life skills. These young people really want to know exactly how their education is going to connect to their career goals and ambitions. One musician we spoke to here said that she found her 1-year specialized music program to be more helpful than university because the assignments she did there directly translated to things she uses in her real life music career. But in addition to attending a specialized program, new skills are also often self-taught. Creators deepen their skill set through public resources found online, especially YouTube. We've heard the phrase YouTube University come up repeatedly as a valuable tool for growth among young creators. And with access to so much information at their fingertips, they're really using their digital savvy to build their knowledge and pave the road to where they want to be in their careers. So at the end of the day, a good education is all about getting the knowledge and qualifications necessary to accomplish their goals, whatever that takes. Young people really believe they can be successful straying from the traditional educational path and create a plan that best fits their life.
And I want to talk a little bit about the biggest knowledge gap for creators of all types, which is business know-how. In many cases, they don't have the infrastructure of a corporation for support behind them. And this type of training is not necessarily endemic to their chosen fields. So their business knowledge needs can differ depending on the industry they're in or the type of project they're working on. They can range from pitching and marketing to financial advice. And sometimes these business needs are really more tactical, like how to invoice clients. And without any sort of formal training or support, many turn to online resources but they tell us that these skills are often difficult to learn online. I can't stress enough how critical this business knowledge is to young creators. One DJ that we spoke to just pinpoints how crucial this knowledge is to be able to survive in the creative industry. She says, "When I first came into working for myself, I didn't have any knowledge about how getting paid works. I wish there was more information out there for people wanting to get into this because it's a mystery." The grant system for creators in Canada can also be a mystery for many. While the grant system is viewed as a huge benefit to creating content in Canada, many creators told us they need technical help navigating this really complex system. There's this notable lack of understanding about how they might qualify and how they stand out in the application process. And some, as we heard in our research, simply need help knowing like where to begin and which grants apply to them. One other important element we heard from the young creators we spoke to was the importance of community. Creators need a community to truly thrive and be able to reach their full potential. And the bigger that community, the better. Community can offer guidance and support. And many times, you know, these young people are looking for mentors with similar backgrounds or experiences to provide that really practical advice that's tailored specifically for them. But since each creator's position is unique and their skill sets are really diverse, as we heard about before, they need to have this robust network that can provide them all the necessary expertise across all sorts of business and creative directions. Community is also how creators often find new projects and get more work. And you know, they're discovering and connecting with other creators often through social media. But they told us that targeted outreach through events and even cold calling are ways that creators, you know, have formed valuable relationships.
So that wraps up our look into creative roles. Now we'll do a deeper dive of jobs that exist behind the scenes within creative industries. So on this page, you'll see levels of awareness and interest for working in various types of behind the scenes careers. As we did with the creative roles, these specific positions were identified based on previous research conducted both by Ontario Creates and Vice. So if you'll recall, the interest across individual creative roles is fairly high. It's around between 40 and 50%. Interest levels on this slide are shown in yellow and are lower across the board in comparison. However, awareness, which is shown in the pink bars, is also fairly low, especially among young women. So there really is work to be done to raise awareness in terms of the breadth and depth of all the different types of behind the scenes positions available. And once we've raised that awareness, we'd expect that could also help boost interest levels as well. Because once aware of a certain type of career, a good deal of those actually do show interest in pursuing it. We also found that interest is slightly higher in more hands-on roles that might directly shape creative content, such as editors and producers, and slightly less interest in sales. We also heard from our interviews that young people really are attracted to roles that are based on tech innovations that might be available to leverage in certain positions. So these can range from emerging creative formats they need to learn, or even just software that can help streamline their jobs. For example, we heard from a video editor who works in film and TV who said that she just became so passionate about digital video editing because it's always at the forefront of computational advancement. Video files are constantly getting bigger. There's lots of opportunities in terms of distribution and how people are viewing things. And that really keeps her engaged and passionate about her field. So as I mentioned on the previous slide, males are more familiar with behind the scenes roles. And in this chart, I wanted to really call out the difference in terms of interest as well between males and females. So as you can see on the slide, there isn't a job type behind the scenes where interest is significantly more female. And this is consistent across Gen Z and Gen Y. So a gender gap isn't surprising. That's nothing we haven't heard before, but we thought it was important to note that this systemic issue is impacting these fields that these new generations are entering in the workforce. And as more people begin their behind the scenes careers or learn about these opportunities, there's a real chance to try to change that narrative and avoid the pitfalls of the past. So now really is the time to build awareness among young women about all the viable career opportunities available to them in these sectors. And when it comes to the type of creative industry young people might want to work in, we found that they really are drawn to work in the cultural sectors that they themselves are fans of. In that 2020 study that Vice conducted with Ontario Creates that I mentioned before, we also identified key areas of interest for Gen Z when consuming cultural content. And you can see that list on the right here. And the topics of gaming and music, internet culture are really at the top of the list. And that aligns really neatly with the list on the left, which describes the fields that this workforce is attracted to work in as well. So again, gaming, social media, music. This really further emphasizes how important it is for young generations to do work that matches their passions.
As Lauren just showed us, there's this really clear interest in jobs behind the scenes in the creative industry. However, young Canadians don't always possess all the skills needed for those roles, right? These jobs behind the scenes in creative industries often entail working across different types of projects and teams and require this really broad skill set. So both the behind the scenes professionals we interviewed and those we surveyed who are interested in these behind the scenes jobs said the most important skill to be successful in this career path are personal skills like creativity, communication, collaboration, adaptability, and problem solving. But notably, these softer skills are also areas where young people feel they could benefit the most from further training. So 85% told us that personal skills are required for these behind the scenes roles, and nearly the same amount, 84%, say they needed more training in the same area. So, you know, there is knowledge that's specific to their profession. It's also important for them to know. And behind the scenes professionals largely hone these types of skills through experience at work on the job, rather than sort of formalized education or other forms of professional training. So on-the-job training is really strongly desired by these young people, with 41% saying they'd be more interested in exploring behind-the-scenes careers if they knew the training was offered. Because there's such a broad skill set needed and the path to these behind-the-scenes jobs are often indirect, the career path is challenging for young people to navigate, especially so early on in their career. So they're looking for guidance from industry insiders, right? They think that's the key to success here. 64% of young people say networking is crucial to finding a job in the creative industry. And 1 in 2 say they would often or always seek out advice from a mentor to grow their behind the scenes career. And while mentors provides career development and direction, they're also vital in helping young professionals discover their personal potential and build their confidence. To form these connections, young people are turning to places, like professional networking sites such as LinkedIn or even social media, in addition to the personal and professional relationships they already have. So, despite the need for a professional network and a seasoned mentor, most young people we spoke to don't have one in their lives. They're intimidated or unsure about how to start building these relationships, especially for those early on in their careers. They know that making the effort to build these connections is necessary for getting their foot in the door, and that they know it's going to pay off in the long run. Knowing the right people, they told us that not knowing the right people is the second greatest roadblock to a behind the scenes career. For context, too much pressure is the number one roadblock, which relates back to their need for work-life balance that we discussed earlier. So, while mentors and networks can provide assistance in finding a job, young people's go-to resources, to learn about behind-the-scenes job opportunities actually tend to be less personal. Their first instinct is to turn where they're most comfortable, online. Likely as they find networking and creative industry to be intimidating, they're turning to these job posting sites and social media to find their next role. So we think here that there's a really clear opportunity to encourage and facilitate more individual relationship building for young people in these, in this industry behind the scenes.
So that wraps up the findings of our study. And, we just wanted to end this presentation with a couple of thought starters or considerations that we heard from, that we gathered from the research, heard from our interviews, because as, more young people really take on creative and behind the scenes roles across all these cultural industries, there are a lot of opportunities to help attract and support this emerging talent. So for example, in job postings and recruitment outreach, there's opportunity to communicate the ways young people can really integrate their passions and values into different positions, because we know that really attracts Gen Z to certain jobs. So especially highlighting values like personal growth and the ability to make an impact in a position might really resonate with them. Holding information sessions on job networking sites and social media, or you know, even at some schools, can help increase awareness of the different types of opportunities available across both creative and behind the scenes roles. You know, especially recruiting and promoting awareness and behind the scenes roles among young women, which we had mentioned, and meeting them where they're already seeking these positions. So again, job listing sites and social media, and even using formats like online videos to help attract their attention, since that's kind of where they're already consuming job content. Also, actively recruiting people who have a mix of different world experiences across cultures and lifestyles can really help foster a culture of inclusivity and understanding, as well as championing community for both creatives and behind the scenes positions. So creating spaces that are online, which is important these days, and also potentially offline in the future for these groups to really find support from their peers and build that community. Also offering accessible educational resources. So for creatives, focusing on business skill development and personal skill enhancement for those behind the scenes. Finally, providing flexible ways of working, of course, to avoid burnout and ensure we're providing programs that support positive mental health practices. So now we will open it up for any questions.
Hi, everybody. I'm just going to pop up and help with the question period. But my name is Erin Smith, for those of you who don't know me, and I manage the Research and Strategic Planning Department at Ontario Creates. We have received a couple of questions in the Q&A. Please keep adding them, but I will read them out, and then we'll let Lauren and Julie do their best to answer them. So the first question is about the first part of the presentation and the findings around diversity. So someone's asked that, someone's noted that the Gen Zs and millennials that they teach frequently bring up inclusion as a problem more than diversity. So they expect to work in a creative sector and not face racism, sexism, transphobia, ableism, et cetera. Because they get them in graduate studies and they are often jaded based on past creative experiences out of their undergrad, they're interested in knowing about what participants might have said about meaningful inclusion as opposed to sort of diversity broadly.
Julie, did you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure, I can take this one. You know, I think it's not just about, I mean, I agree, it's not just about having a diverse workforce, but it's about making sure that all those voices are being heard and they're being included. And really making sure that, you know, it's not just sort of performative diversity, but that, you know, these folks are included in a team and their voices are heard on all, you know, on all elements of the project they're working on, right? From the actual creative that's being created to sort of the policies in the organization behind it. You know, I think it's about, you know, just utilizing those experiences, right? And those different experiences and making sure that in the culture of where you're working, that really is, you know, that everyone's voice, you know, has a platform, right? And is respected.
And just to build on that as well, I think what I've seen in this research, as well as some other research we've conducted this year, is really communicating that the efforts you're making, even if it's small steps to foster, you know, that inclusive culture in your own company, can really go a long way to showing and maybe hopefully changing the perception of some negative experiences that they might have had in their past.
Another related question to that was someone was asking about what the diversity breakdown in the survey respondents looked like beyond gender gap, if that data is available. And then also same about the education type of the survey respondents.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but we did field this nationally to be geographically representative of the population. So it should closely mirror the national population of Canada for the youth.
Sorry, there's quite a few questions now. So someone is asking if you could talk about something that surprised you about the research findings.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that surprised me most, you know, that I guess it's not that surprising when you think about it, but just seemed like so important, was this idea that, you know, they really, you know, these creatives go into this industry and they really have no idea like how to start a business for themselves, right? Or how to, like this, you know, like I said, that one woman didn't know how to go about like getting paid. You know, so those simple things that we sort of take for granted, I mean, as young people, as they're starting out, like just don't have any idea. And so, you know, just the simplest things about how to run a business or, you know, are just so important for them. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for us to kind of take them under our wings and show them the ropes, especially when they don't have a big corporation to sort of support them in that.
Yeah. And I think related to that, for me, the lack of mentorship connections, I know that that can be really challenging when you're starting out in your career. You're shy, maybe intimidated and afraid to reach out to people. But I think we also think of Gen Z as this really responsible, ambitious, you know, they have it all together generation, but they really do, like Julie said, kind of need some help from those more experienced veterans and people with connections in the industry to help introduce them and show them the way things work and help them form those connections.
Someone has asked if and the research didn't quite set out to find this, but possibly it came through in some of your interviews and surveys. But can you expand on the interest of working from home in the future? How important is it to provide that flexibility? So possibly you heard some responses around flexible workplaces.
Right. Yes, we didn't quite focus on that too much in this survey. We did want to try to ask about creative interest and fields, trying to think outside of the pandemic a bit, but we also have done other global research on the future of work culture, aside from this project as well. So we do know from that and from some of these interviews that, you know, flexibility really is important. Most do not want to go back to the office full time. I think in our global survey, it was something like 16% want to go back full time after the pandemic, and the rest of that want some sort of flexibility. So whether it's working remotely full time, most want a mix of some sort of hybrid connection, using the office space or meeting spaces more as kind of hubs for collaboration and creativity, and then going off to back to their home or a coffee shop or wherever to kind of do their own independent work. So that kind of hybrid model is definitely extremely, extremely popular. So I think that's, and I don't think that's going to be going away anytime soon either.
I just want to highlight something that Lauren said that I think was so important, especially to think about for this industry, is that they're rethinking the use of the office, right? They're rethinking of it as something for creativity, right? So how do you create that office space when people are together to really foster that creativity and that collaboration, right? Which in this industry, you know, is so key. So I think there's some benefits there for, you know, what the future of work is going to look like.
I mean, linking this question, which is making me think of sort of changes that have been brought on by the pandemic to the earlier one about research finding surprises. One of the surprises that I found was that we launched this survey sort of in the first portion of the pandemic, I guess, but sort of just after some of the industries like film production had been locked down. And there were, you know, significant work stoppages across the industries. And one of the questions we asked was, was what they were seeing in terms of work stoppages related to the pandemic, was that deterring them from future interest in creative industries careers, knowing sort of the volatility of the sector around something like a pandemic? And the findings were surprisingly no, that despite sort of seeing what was happening in the environment, they were still, you know, as interested as ever in pursuing those industries. So that was a finding that I did not expect to see. Hold on. So another question, what advice do you have for how to create more community and more connection with these generations?
Yeah, I mean, I would say given, you know, sort of the intimidation that these young people feel, you know, especially when they're starting out in their careers, I think anything that, you know, you guys can all do to sort of reach out to them and create ways that, you know, they can work with you or they can have engagement with you, I think that's going to be really, really well received. Not only for them, but also for you all, right? These young people are super creative and they have so much to offer. So, you know, what are those ways that you guys can work together that will benefit both of you? But I think, you know, creating some outreach will probably go a very long way.
Yeah. And I don't even think that it can be small. It can be local community outreach, which I think can be sometimes even more impactful. Because as we heard in the research, you know, both behind the scenes and creatives are looking for kind of those individual connections on a smaller scale as well.
So somebody asks if the use of social audio platforms came up in the interviews or surveys. They're curious if Gen Z is also looking to use them to inform their career pathways as an alternative or companion to something like YouTube.
So once again, we didn't ask about that in this particular study, but we have done some other work around sort of audio and the future of audio. And we are seeing, you know, there is quite a bit of interest in sort of social audio, whether that be just consuming it, as well as, you know, using that for potential learning opportunities. So I think that is something that young people are interested in. I mean, they're always on the forefront of like what's coming next and what are the new, you know, sort of new formats to engage with or to create on. And so I think that's definitely something to consider.
And someone else has asked whether the research is relevant for just the creative industries or if it's applicable for all industries. I mean, I don't think that that's something that the research answered or sought out to look at explicitly. But I think probably Julie and Lauren from, you know, your other research work, you might be able to draw some conclusions that probably some of the general observations would be transferable to other industries.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely wanted to focus on the creative industries, of course, for the scope of this research, but in other work research we've done over the past year, I mean, there definitely are some common themes. You know, I think that those personal skill sets that we talked about in behind the scenes careers, like creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, are something that we've heard young people say is important to kind of diversify and make themselves stand out from kind of the pack and even from technology that might be taking over some jobs. So those skill sets are really important, I think, for any type of career you might be in. The idea of mentorship and really guidance in general, I think, is also really important. I'm an older millennial, but I know in my career that's invaluable. And I don't think that that's something that would ever go away. So I think, you know, cultivating those communities within any type of industry to make you feel connected, to learn new skills, to, again, just keep broadening your knowledge and giving you a path to grow is of utmost importance, no matter if you're in a creative industry or not.
Thank you. And then there are a handful of questions about sort of Ontario Creates, so maybe I will take a stab at answering those. But someone asked if Ontario Creates would be offering mentorship, pairing, and business skills seminars. And I think sort of the broad answer to that is, you know, one of the reasons we partner with organizations like Vice or, you know, do our own research is to help us understand what's needed in terms of service to stakeholders in Ontario and, you know, what kinds of skills are needed. And we'll use this research to sort of help shape our programs and offerings, you know, sort of every year as we, you know, launch all of our programs. So this research will certainly help help shape the future of those programs. Certainly, there are a number of types of skills and mentorship type things that we support often through our industry development programs. So we might support a trade org to offer some kind of business skills seminar, some kind of training, that's sort of the approach that we would most often take, but certainly always interested to hear from you about what you think that you need and what you would find useful from a research perspective and from sort of a general organizational perspective. So feel free to reach out and let us know. And then I think I think that might be it for questions. Lauren and Julie, I don't know if you have any final comments, and then we can maybe move on to the networking.
No, I mean, this has been great. You guys, your questions have been amazing. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, just thank you to Ontario Creates for, you know, being such great partners in this research. We love doing work with you guys.
Thank you so much, Julie and Lauren. This was a great presentation.